bless you this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that we can come here this morning. Father, such a privilege, knowing that you're here with us, knowing that you have something for us to hear, something that you brought us together for, Lord Jesus, that you want to speak to us, Lord. Father, we so appreciate your presence here. Appreciate you being with us and all the blessings you've given us. Your grace is beyond measure, Lord Jesus. We recognize it's only by your grace that we're even here this morning. Satan would have loved to keep us away, but you had something. You were greater. There was something inside that would have brought us here anyways, Lord. So now I pray that, Lord, you would just have your way this morning, that you could get this to us, reveal to us what it is we need to see this morning. Help me, Lord Jesus, just to let you have control and say what you want said and the way you want it said, Lord. Let each heart be receptive. Lord Jesus, meet our needs this morning. I ask this in your name. Amen. Excuse me. If you want to turn to Revelation, the sixth chapter, we're going to read several verses and then be seated. Revelation 6 and 12. We want to continue talking about the day of the Lord, which we've been talking the last several services we've had. And today is going to be a little bit different. I'll just be honest. Yesterday, God was putting on my heart, and I was studying. He put on what to speak. And then afterwards, I looked at it and I said, I wonder why God wanted us to say this. Because it really doesn't have much to do with the bride. But this is what he gave me, so this is what we're going to speak on. So it's going to be for some reason. Revelation 6 and 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the sun and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You may be seated. We know, brother and sister, that the sixth seal is a tribulation seal. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let me just read a quote I did last time I was here. And it says, the coming of a prophet is a warning sign of judgment at hand. Did you know that? Judgment is ready to strike. If there is a prophet in the land, remember, he certainly first got to be vindicated by God and the word for that day, and then he does a sign. Then watch that sign, what he predicts. He said, if it comes to pass, then hear him. If it doesn't come to pass, forget it. It's got to be a scriptural sign that he gives. So first of all, we know we've had a prophet, and then we just ask a question. When he prophesied something, did it come to pass? Then he says, you better pay attention to what he's saying, right? So today we're going to pay attention to what our prophet said. It also says, what does this sign do? The sign is to attract the attention and get the elected ready and out of the way before judgment strikes. Praise God. Whatever I say today, I want you to be, I'm right up front, I'm telling you right now, you know this already, but I want to just make sure we're on the same page. The bride does not go through the tribulation. What I'm going to speak on today happens after the bride leaves. That's why I was thinking, why does God want me to say this? I don't know. Maybe someone's going to be here. Maybe someone sitting here is not going to leave with the rapture. And if that's the case, I'm letting you know what you have in store. It's like a trailer for a movie. You know, you see the trailer, and it kind of tells you what's coming. This is a trailer for the tribulation, folks. And it's a horror movie. I don't like horror movies. I don't watch them. They scare me. And this is what I got to say today. If I had to go through this, I'd be terrified. He said, that's what Noah did, got the elected ready, the rest of them. What does it do? The sign and the voice of the sign condemns the unbeliever and gets him ready for judgment. It gets the elected ready for the escape. That's what the sign is. That's what the sign was given for the coming judgment. And so what happens, the prophet gives a sign, the believers, the elected, see it and they take heed and are saved, but the rest of them reject it. And when you reject Christ, then all you can have left is judgment. Make sense? Amen. Nothing but judgment. A brother in question and answers, they said, asked him, he said, after the bride is raptured, will any of the foolish virgin be saved or will they all be lost? No, see, everything will be finished for the Gentile church when the bride is taken from the earth. The Spirit of God leaves the earth. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. All right? In other words, the sanctuary becomes smoky, where the attorney stands to plead the case. Then Christ leaves the sanctuary. His days of mediatorial work is over. The rapture comes. He leaves from the sanctuary, goes forth and takes the book of redemption and claims everything he redeemed. There's no more mediatorial work, brother and sister, after the rapture. Nobody is saved after the rapture. You say, but the foolish virgins. Just hang on a second. He comes from the sanctuary, goes forth and takes the book of redemption, claims everything he redeemed, no more mediatorial work. How many understands that? He says, now wait a minute. He says again, will the foolish virgin be saved? No. Whatever happens, happens now. After that time, she's in the state. Now she will have to go through the tribulation period. And the reason of it is because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. She is a believer. A professed believer, but she will have to go through the tribulation period. The Bible said the rest of them, the dragon spurred out his water to make war. What an hour that is. Let me keep going. He said, this is a striking thing. Please don't take it as a doctrine, but do understand that the scripture said it would take place when that did. Time was over. For look, there are 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. Half of them had oil in the lamp, half of them didn't. That's the part of the body that's dead and that part that's alive. The 5 wise, when the cry went out, behold, the bridegroom cometh, they all woke and trimmed their lamps to go into the wedding supper. But when the foolish virgin said, give us some of your oil, our lamps has gone out. So all these virgins were believing they were ready. They're believing that they were going in the rapture. And then there comes a time when all of a sudden there's going to be a squeeze come on. And the people who are in the bride, I'm preaching the next Sunday service here, but the people who are in the bride, they wake up. And all the other everyone wakes up and they look around and say, what's going on? But there's the people in the bride, they have the evidence that they have the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is living through them doing a short, powerful work. But the other people wake up, the other message believers or whoever, and they wake up and they look and say, oh my goodness, I don't have the same power in my life that you have. Something's wrong. I need what you got. They said, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. Give us your oil. They said, not so. We just got enough for ourselves. You go buy it yourself. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, the rapture happened, and they were sitting here on earth. See, it was too late then. He said, when the proclamation went out, the decree, the bridegroom's coming, everybody wanted to get right quick. Ain't that the hour when the handwriting's on the wall? Brother and sister, I think I said it last Sunday whenever I said, there's going to be a time when this church is going to fill up. There's going to be message churches fill up all over the place. Because all your friends and relatives and people who know about this message who weren't bothering to come to church and they don't like it, whatever, all of a sudden they're going to realize, I need the oil. Because everything that prophet said is happening. He said, it's too late. He said, oh, we want the baptisms of the Holy Ghost. We want this, that, or the other. But while they went to buy it, the bridegroom comes. The wives went in. They were left outside. There would be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Let me just read a couple more. He said, now at that time, see, the Gentile bride is in heaven, and the sleeping virgins is not to be saved during that time. She's already been saved. So no one gets saved after the rapture. Understand that? but has been rejected in the bride. She only goes through the tribulation period for the time of purification because she has rejected Christ, the word, for her purification. Then she has to suffer for her deeds, but the bride who has become the word, the bride who has become the word, a complete atonement was made of Christ because he is the word. That body was rendered, then that body was rendered. The bride was in that body because it's all the word. Jesus said, he that loveth the world, the cosmos, or the things of the world, the love of the God's not in him. He's not in love with the groom. Therefore, she has to pay that penalty. She's not saved during that time. She's saved now from eternal death, but she will have to go through the tribulation period for the purification. So right away, just starting off, the foolish virgins are not just going to be living any kind of life now, and then when the tribulation comes, well, I'm going to get my life together and be saved during the tribulation. No, you're not. No, not you. No, they are not. All right, they're living the life now. They're doing what they can now. They're walking in the light now. But for whatever reason, they rejected Christ, the word, which is the word manifest in your day. And so when you look at all the tons and tons of message believers out there who are not recognizing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the word for this day is being manifest, and their eyes have been blinded, and they have not kept walking in the light. They've gone off into darkness. They are not born again, but they are saved. But because you've recognized Christ in your day and you've accepted the atonement in its fullness and that light is shining in you, then you're standing, the bleached blood of Jesus Christ has made you so free from sin, there's not even a spot on you. Isn't that amazing? But the others have to go through it for purification because they did not accept the word for their day. They thought they did. And then there's other people who are going to be given life. They're saved now because of the way they treated you, the way they treated the bride. They were good to the bride. They were good to the members of the body of Christ and all these different things Brother Branham said. And I don't know what it's all going to look like. I'm not going to sit here and try to figure it out. I'm just going to tell you what the prophet said. So there's going to be a lot of people who are given life at the judgment, but they're not saved during the tribulation because the bride's gone there. So how are they going to be good to the body of Christ? They can't be. Making sense? All right, so thankfully we'll be gone because we got ourselves ready now. But now let's say the rapture happens. What is it going to look like? Because that's the beginning of the day of the Lord. This is the day of man. When that goes, it starts the day of the Lord. What's that going to look like? I got a bunch of scriptures to read, just so you're not, I'm not just taking from one place here and one place there. It's all over. And I'm going to read through these. I'm just going to tell you where it's at. I'm not going to wait for you to turn to it. You can turn if you turn quickly, but just to save time, I'm just going to start reading through this, okay? Isaiah 2, it says this, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So right away, we see, right off the bat, we see, well, the reason they didn't make it, the foolish didn't make it because they're too proud. And by the way, the tribulation isn't just for the foolish virgins, it's for everyone on the earth. The foolish virgins are going to, you know, they're all going to come to judgment. They're going to be given life, but everyone's going through this. This isn't just for the foolish virgin. So that's because we won't humble ourselves. You look down the street and look how people act. The Bible says to do this, but are they doing it? The Bible says to live a certain way. Do they do it? They do it the exact opposite, and they glory in their shame, the most debauched they can get, as most perverted they can get, they just get more glory and they just exalt this, the horrible things they're doing. He said, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Every knee will bow, brother and sister. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon the oaks of Bashan, upon the high mountains, upon the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, upon every fenced wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be brought down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So all man's pride that keeps him from serving God, it's all going to be just brought low. You're going to think, oh my goodness, what did I give in exchange for my soul? He said, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. The things that keep you I just don't want to fully surrender to Christ. Utterly abolish them. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, and go into the clefts of the rock and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he rises to shake terribly the earth. But this is, that's not talking like allegorically or something. When he shakes the earth, this earth is going to be shaken. Because right now, sometime a long time ago, this earth was standing up on his axis, and there's something shook the whole earth and went tilted. And we had a great flood about that time. And that whole earth is going to be shook, so it's standing straight up again, and we're going to have a great fire during that time. And it's going to destroy them all. Isaiah 13, he says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Get on TV and look at some of these preachers and go on to some of these churches, and they're talking about the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, oh, what a wonderful time. The ones that still believe it, half the churches don't even believe it anymore. They don't preach about the day of the Lord. They just ignore it. They don't think it's going to come. Oh, the world's been going on like this forever. Why should we start believing that everything's going to change? Because the Bible said it's going to change. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at each other. Their faces shall be flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Everyone's going to die. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. I will punish the world for her evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and the day of his fierce anger. It shall be this the chased roe, and as a sheep that no one taketh up, they shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. Oh, you're going to gather to your family then. You're going to be looking for some kind of comfort. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, and their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, howl ye, woe worth the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord, a cloudy day, it shall be the time of the heathen. Alas, Joel says, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Amos said, therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing, and in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Why? Because the bride is gone, Christ is left, the mediator is off the mercy seat, and Satan has full control of everything on earth. How would you like to have that going on? How would you like to live where Satan is completely in control? Zephaniah says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath. Well, they're going to cry. You know, Brother Branham said many times, he said, you're going along and all of a sudden you start seeing things and the tribulation is starting. You're going to say, hey, I thought the rapture was supposed to go first. He said, you're going to hear that voice come back and say, the rapture did go. And you missed it. You talk about bitterness. You know what I think the worst part is, at least initially? When those people who know the message, who have been here, when they recognize they missed the rapture and recognize how close they were. They were so close. What would have it took just to be across that line and get born again and go in the rapture? But what held them back? Those idols, they're going to look at that pride. They're going to look at whatever they found pleasure in. They said, this is what kept me from being in the rapture. and they're going to throw those idols away. They're going to destroy, at least in their mind. You know, we don't actually worship like idols so much, but it's what you put between you and Christ. And whatever it is, you're going to look at that and you're going to think the most horrible things about yourself. Because I worship that instead of surrendering to Christ. Was it worth it? He said they'll howl bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out as dust and the flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Obadiah says, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Praise the Lord. Really an uplifting kind of thing to think about, isn't it? Jeremiah says this, come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots. Let the mighty man come forth. The Ethiopians and Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow, for this is the day of the Lord of God. This is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate, and made drunk with the blood, for the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. So he says he's going to have a sacrifice. And then in Zephaniah again, he says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. What is this sacrifice? He's going to take this whole world and destroy it. And in Revelation, it says this. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God. This ain't our wedding supper, folks. That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great and small. Remember back in Revelation 6, it said all these people, they went to hide themselves in the rock to escape from the wrath. He said they're not going to escape. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had they received the mark of the beast and that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So he's taken the ones who was performing these miracles and deceiving the whole earth with the mighty miracles that he can perform. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. It's going to be a sacrifice. The entire population of what's left on the earth is going to be slain. There's going to be fire. There's going to be all kinds of horrible things turn out. Let me just read out here, and the vials are going to be poured out. And it says in Revelation 16:9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of blackness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of the pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So even in the midst of all this stuff, they still did not repent. Now, the foolish virgins, they're going to be repented. They're not going to be these people doing this, but this is the rest of the people out there on the earth that are being tormented. You think they won't turn on you? They'll chase you down. They'll find you. All right. Now I'm going to read what the prophet said about all this, okay? Some of the things he said. I'm not going to read all of it, but I don't have a lot of things to say just besides what I'm reading today, so. Brother Bram's talking about, on handwriting on the wall, he's talking about Belteshazzar's party where he was having that big party, brought the vessels in there, and they were drinking out of the holy vessels and all that, and then the handwriting on the wall. And he said, what does this all mean? So they're looking at this handwriting on the wall, Brother Bram said, right at that same time, when he was standing there watching that writing on the wall, little did he know that right under the gates, right then, the guards had been killed. The soldiers were in the street slaying the palace guards. They were on the steps. So we know that this age, we've had the handwriting on the wall, and the prophet has come, and he's interpreted, and he said, America is tried in the balance and found wanting, and we have judgment coming. And right when this is coming, we are ready. Our whole thing has been destroyed underneath us. We're still trusting in our army and our navy and our air force and all this, and we're done already. This whole world is already gone. It's happening right around us. He said, and those women standing there away from their babies, away from the husbands, husbands from the wives, all drunk, listening to some kind of a modern dance and carry on. And the soldiers was on the steps. In a few minutes, the king was cut down. All that drunken bunch of men could be cut down by an atheotic, devil-possessed nation. The woman would have their clothes stripped off of them. Young girls and all ravished in the streets, picked up by the heels and burst their head around the walls, chopped them open after they had lived with them in lust. Mad, drunken soldiers. It was at the door for their weight in the balance and found wanting. This is what your prophet said. I wouldn't go up there and say these kind of things, but he did. This is what he says is waiting for the tribulation period, folks. You say, well, people don't do that. I watched something not too long, well, maybe a year ago or so ago. It's called The Rape of Nanking. It's when the Japanese soldiers invaded China back in World War II. And they were talking to these Japanese soldiers who had done this, and they were talking about how they had gone in. The reason they called it the rape, because they went around and raped almost every single person. This is going to be really graphic, but I'm going to tell you because it's kind of what the prophet was saying here. And they would talk about how these soldiers are still alive talking about it. They said they were like about four or five of them would find a Chinese girl. They'd rape her, all of them. And then they'd take a rifle with a bayonet on the end and just stir it through her stomach to kill her, just slicing her up like that. And they were sitting there. They didn't have any remorse. One guy was smiling when he was saying it. This is human beings. And that was 60 or 80 years ago. How much more evil are people now? Look how what pleasure they take out of this, of harming people and torturing and all this kind of stuff. This isn't some fantasy. This isn't some horror movie. This is reality. Billy Graham said about a week or two ago, one of his messages, this nation can become a satellite to Russia anytime Russia desires. Where are we at? You buy Elvis Presley records and stay at home from church to hear We Love Susie one of these days. You wait in the balance and find wanting. What happened? There's a handwriting on the wall. The Russians put up a Sputnik that we can control nothing about it. 500 miles off of the earth, they could put a half a dozen of them over the United States in the next 30 minutes and call and say, surrender or be a bunch of ashes in a few minutes. They can do it. There is a nothing that we can do to stop them. It's in their hands of bloodless, heartless, ungodly communists. That's what God uses to make sin come to light. If you read the Bible, Russia's got to do that according to Revelation. According to Revelation, Russia's got to do this. They got to destroy us. Remember, he said they got bombs with our name on it. He looked across. He saw that vision. He saw America, nothing but just blowed up, just rocks and smoke and destroyed. All right, you prophecy teachers might differ from that, but just wait till it's over. Russia is put here for that very purpose. Here she is with a Sputnik. We tried to fire one the other night. We thought we were going to do just as much as they did. Rose about 3 foot off the ground and fizzled out. Too much rock and roll and sin. We're waiting the balance and found wanting. God be merciful. What are we going to do? What would happen if they send those Sputniks up there with those missiles and say, surrender or become a pile of dust in 5 minutes? Well, of course, our government, to save life, would surrender. That's the only thing they could do. Then what would happen to some of you Americans, all of us in here? He said, not here, but I'm speaking nationally. He said, "You little smart aleck girls that run along with your little lips painted up like some kind of a rosebud would laugh at a preacher on the corner preaching the gospel. And you little teenager that thinks you got more gumption than you got intelligence to control. What's going to happen to you? Papa that sits home at night with mama and watches the television while Junior's in the hot rod and sits down at the canteen somewhere, down there with doing rock and roll, you're watching TV and making fun of the gospel. What's going to happen to you, church member? Who's going to be," he said, "what's going to be your outcome? You may have your name on every book or the biggest church in the city, but unless you're under the security of the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll perish with those that will perish. There's no hope for you. What's going to happen?" He said, "There's a Sputnik up there, and what would happen? The nation would surrender, of course. That's the only decent thing the government could do. Then what happens? Wave after wave of shiploads of soldiers, wave after wave of airplanes would land in this nation. The women would be ravished in the street. What would you do? It belongs to them. Kicked you out of your home, they'll take it over. What happens to you young girls and you young men? All of you at that time, sin has to be paid for. No matter what nation it is or who it does it individually or a nation, it's going to be paid for. And a bunch of brutal, ungodly, whisker-jawed, communistic soldiers would grab your wives and ravish them and you young girls, and you'll stand and like it. There's nothing you can do about it." What caused that? Because you have listened to such stuff at these television programs on rock and roll and sin, and some cold, formal preacher not able to interpret the supernatural. The handwriting is on the wall. He said, when could that take place? Before daylight in the morning. Who's going to stop it? Try it. The Bible says it'll happen. But let me tell you, that'll never touch the church of the living God. We'll be gone by that time. Praise the Lord. I don't want to see it. This is my country. I love the United States. I think it's an amazing country, best country. But the more I live here, the more I see that we are, it just kills me. America has been preached to. The supernatural has been done. They wade right on over the top of it. Go in a country somewhere and hold a revival. Have maybe 40 converts in a week, go back in 6 weeks, you don't have four. The old pond has been sane dry. God has just so many elected. When the last one is in, that closes the door and it's over. He said, great men has crossed this nation. Billy Graham, Jack Schuller, Oral Roberts, preaching the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus, and people has laughed at them, made fun of it, and turned it down flatly. There's only one thing left. That's divine judgment, and it's coming. And Russia's down there, sitting there, waiting for you. Brother, do you realize that 150 million people could die in 1 hour? And that could be before daylight breaks in the morning. This whole nation could become annihilated. He said, what do you think will take place? He said, if 10,000 planes loaded with atomic bombs, each one of them would drop an atomic bomb, a hydrogen bomb on this nation, the whole world would shake plumb from its orbit. What would do that? Fulfill every word God said would come to pass. When you look at what he's saying, you look back at what we read about the earth shaking and wives being ravished, he's just telling you exactly what the Bible said was going to happen. He's just putting in modern language. And then it gets bad. I'm almost done. Brother Branham says this, and he stretched forth his rod, talking about Moses, at the command of God, and said, let frogs come and cover the earth, and the frogs come till they heaped them up piles. It was stink everywhere, maybe 40 or 50 feet high of frogs. They were in the cupboard of Pharaoh. They would turn down the sheets. There would be 500 frogs under the sheet, under the bed, in the grub. Everywhere they went was frogs, frogs, frogs. Where do they come from? God, their creator, is sovereign. What he says he'll do. Can you imagine? And he said, there will be hideous sights upon the earth. Locusts with hair like women, long hair, to haunt them women that cut their hair. Teeth like lions, stingers in their tails like scorpions. They would torment men months. Just wait till we get into them opening them plagues and seals and them seven thunders. Watch what takes place. Brother, you better get to Goshen while there's time to get to Goshen. He said, and then when we open up those, the Lord willing, and those seven vials and show these hideous things, men will be so insane after a while till they'll imagine they're seeing ants the size of a mountain. It'll be tormenting women, be locusts come upon the earth with long hair to torment women who cut theirs off. Hair like women hanging down, long teeth like a lion, stingers in the tail like a scorpion to torment men upon the earth. But then it'll be too late to do anything about it. He said, seeing, Lord, that the mental condition, the nervous age that the people's living in, it's driving them out of their mind to exactly fulfill what the scripture said and promised, the great hideous things would come upon the earth like locusts to haunt women that cut the hair. They'll have long hair like a woman and different hideous sights that they'll be able to see. Lord, in that mental deluded condition they're in, and then screaming for the rocks and the mountains, women who would mother dogs and cats and not raise children to honor you, those that you did give children to and they did conceive them, turn them loose on the streets to do what they want. No wonder you said, Lord, that you're going to, that when you were going to the cross, then they'll begin to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Now watch, the Spirit following it. There will come a time in the name of the Lord that people will go completely insane. The Bible says so. They'll scream and holler. Great hideous things in their imaginary mind. The radio and things, our television programs are producing it. There'll be such things as ants raise up on the earth that'll be as high as 14 trees. There'll be a bird will fly across the earth with wings 4 or 5 miles across, and people will see them. They'll scream and holler and cry for mercy, but it'll be the plagues. He said, the nations that are such a tremendous nervous condition tonight till they don't know what to do. A great writer said the other day, there's one little thread between the smartest of us and total insanity. Tell me this world ain't gone insane. The way people are acting, the way they're treating each other, the way the things they're doing to themselves, the things they believe is true, the things they believe is moral. Completely insane. This is the world we live in. This is why we're getting ready to go, friends. If you're comfortable in this world, there's something seriously wrong with your spiritual walk. Got one more quote. He said, I listened today of our television programs, our papers, all these things that's going on. Everybody's telling a joke. America's built upon a bunch of laughter, some kind of a joke like Ernie Ford and all those television stars. Our movies are so corrupt, it just could not be any more corrupt, that's all. He said this in 1963. Can you imagine what he would say today? He said, it puts me in mind of a little boy going through a graveyard whistling, trying to make himself think he's not afraid. But that's the reason he's whistling. He's afraid. And that's what's the matter. They're trying. The world today is trying to laugh it off. America is a joke and knows that our number's up. She's weighed in the balance and found wanting. We have to have entertainment. We always entertain. We have all our Netflix and our TV shows and all this. Why? To keep people focused on something so you don't stop and just look at reality. Because if we would just stop and look at reality once and just kind of get off by yourself and look around and see what's going on, it would scare the fire out of us. How can this be right? How can this be going on? But you know what? Our eyes have been blinded. I'm talking about as a nation, not us. Our eyes have been blinded because we've been offered something that we want. And you can be a Christian and still do this, and you can be a Christian and still have this, and you can serve God and the devil at the same time, is what they're telling you. But the reality is they're only serving Satan. Because when you believe Satan, what Satan says, you're serving Satan. That's what the prophet said. And so we don't want to humble ourselves. America is proud. She's not going to humble herself. The world is proud. Russia's not going to humble themselves. The Vatican's not going to humble them. No one's going to humble themselves. Because we can have our own way. We can do it the way we want. We can protect us. We can save the planet. Ain't that amazing? Even the world out there, they're trying to save the planet. They recognize, oh my goodness, all this stuff is going on, and they call it climate change and all that. It's judgment. It's judgment. And they can save the planet from now until doomsday. They're going to get to doomsday because nothing's going to save the planet anymore, because that's part of judgment. They're not going to save the planet by driving electric cars. It's amazing. Always got to keep entertained. Keep something on. Keep my mind off the reality. Keep my mind off what's really happening. He said, if God Almighty doesn't tear this nation to pieces, he'll be obligated to Sodom and Gomorrah to raise her up and apologize for his burning her up. That's right. We are doomed. The whole world's doomed. She's fallen apart, and there's no way of saving it. She's done sinned away her day of grace. It's right at the door, friends. It's right at the door. Brother Branham talked about the disappointment at judgment. How many people are going to show up for judgment thinking they had done right, thinking they had, but they're going to be gone. They're going to be in the grave for 1,000 years during the tribulation period. During the millennium. I don't know. I wonder many times what that their condition will be. Will they know during that time that they're doomed, or will they know they're going to be given life? I don't know. I don't know what's it going to be like. I don't want to be there with them. There's too much to live for, friends. There's too much to die to yourself now. There's too much to humble yourself now. If we can just do that, brother and sister, then we don't have to go through that. We can skip that. We can go through our judgment now. That's why he said judgment starts at the house of God. Your judgment can be now. But you get to choose. I said that was one more quote. I got one more. I'm sorry, I wasn't going to read this, but now I'm going to. It just says on my heart to do it. They asked him, question and answers. They said, if the church is saved, even though she does not go through the rapture, as I believe you taught, she must go through the tribulation for purifying. He said, but what about these that are dead? How will they be purified? So he's saying after the rapture, the church that's still here has to go through the purifying. But he said, now there's a lot of people who are dead. They can't be raised up to go through the tribulation. So how are they going to be purified? Good question, right? I thought about that myself. Why does just this end time church age have to go through the tribulation? Why not all the other church ages for their purifying? He says this. He said, first of all, the bride don't need no purification. She's already purified. And those that are dead back there, they never received the light that this church up here received. They lived under their justification, sanctification, so forth like that. They lived to the light that they had. Maybe in a way that they suffered and whatever they went through with their persecution. And we know a lot of them, they suffered horrible persecution back there, so they shouldn't have to go through it again, right? But now in this rapturing time like this, there will have to come a time now that the bride that rejects the head part of the head part of the bride, now he said bride, he meant the church, will have to suffer for her rejection because the gospel wasn't made plain to them back there like it's made plain to you today. You see it so plain. You done had all those years and examples, the seals open, the church ages laid out, everything like that. It's just so plain you can't miss it. And then if you fully reject it, there's only one thing to do is suffer for it. So this is sort of what it's like. Israel, down through the Old Testament, right? They had prophets come up and they rejected them, but they kept going on. But one time when the fullness of those prophecies came in the form of Jesus Christ and he came, to reject him was different. And when they rejected him, they lost their whole nation. And for 2,000 years, they were no longer a nation. Why? Because they rejected the fullness of the prophecies. They rejected the light that was pure light right there. And that's the same thing in this age. When we have message believers and they can see that the truth is here, they can see that we've had a prophet, they can see all these things and then still reject that, then they need a tribulation period. That's why this age gets the tribulation period. Because they've had the most light and they've had the most proof. They had the most evidence of any other age. You know, you could have been back there in the time of Wesley. And, you know, I can tell you, John Wesley said this. And you can write, you know, this is what he said. And, you know, we had some great times at the service and 3 people got healed and all this kind of stuff. But you have more than that. You have it on a tape. You can listen to it yourself. There's absolutely no excuse. And then if you get led astray because by someone else, it's right there on the tape. The prophet said it, and you listened to it, and you walked away because of your pride and did not accept it. I was just listening yesterday to the question and answers again, and they said, Brother Branham, are you the only one who's supposed to be preaching? He said, goodness, no. He said, if you're called to preach, you need to preach. We need you. Then how in the world do you turn around and a generation later you're standing saying, no one needs to preach, we got the tapes. That's the kind of attitude that gets you into tribulation. Because you rejected what you say you believe. The prophet said it, and you turn and do the exact opposite. That's why we get the tribulation, because we had the most vindicated prophet that's ever been on this earth. You don't want to walk away and just play your own games and do your own thing and have your own prophets and have your own agenda. No. There's no excuse. You stand on judgment day and say, I just flat out rejected it. And it'll be played out there for everyone to see. That's why Jesus said, watch, for you know not what hour comes. But if you're watching, what are you watching for? The manifestation of the word. Praise the Lord. Lord willing, the next sermon or two, we're going to get back to what the bride is going to be doing during this time and before this time. And it's going to be a little bit more cheerful. Amen. I know we all have family. We all have friends. That if they don't change, they're going to head full force into this tribulation period. And you look at that and you think, do something. Please don't. Please change. Do something. But everyone has to make their own choices, and it's only for the elect. It's only for the ordained who God has elected. And God's grace, His mercy is elective. Esau and Jacob were born, he said, Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. And if you recognize that it's election that has you here, it's the election that brought you to where you are and ready for the rapture and going to miss that, brother and sister, that's nothing but the grace of God. And when you see this, the grace of God, and recognize it wasn't because I was so smart or I was so religious or I knew so much or I was such a good person. It was simply the grace of God. And then you can look at people with the same grace of God in your heart and say, let me do what I can to help you. You're not looking down on people. You're not ridiculing people. You're not shunning people. You're loving people. Because you recognize it was nothing you did. If you not, then you think you had something to do with it, friends. If you're looking down on denominational people out there because they're not as holy as we are, you think you had something to do with it. You think that somehow you were holier than they were, you were smarter, or you were more spiritualist than the brother and sister. You don't recognize the grace of God. There's no way. You still think that you were like just a really good guy. So God saved you because of that. Foolishness. Isn't he amazing? Amazing grace he did for us. Let's stand. God bless you this morning. Hope this didn't discourage anybody. I hope it just helps you determine that we're going to just recognizing grace of God that we're going to miss this terrible time coming on the earth. And you hear these denominational preachers and message preachers, and they're out there, oh, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. What a great day, the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says, you people who want the day of the Lord, it's going to be darkness and not light. Woe unto you that seek it. You're not going to enjoy it. It's a time of destruction. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray that the word that you sent this morning had the effect that you wanted to have. Help each one here, Father, to make sure we miss that terrible time that's coming. Help us, Lord Jesus. Your Bible says it's a great and terrible day of the Lord. And for the bride, it's going to be great. It's going to be the most amazing time. But for everyone else, it's going to be a terrible time. Lord, grant it that each one of us will make it in that rapture. Watch over us, I pray. Amen.